Blog Talk Radio.
There was a time when the world was plunging into darkness and chaos. A time of witchcraft and sorcery. A time when no one stood against evil.
Body of Christ Church, and you are listening to our program, From Darkness to Light, where we wage war against the servants of darkness and spiritual wickedness at work in today's world. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, we fight to spread the true gospel of Jesus Christ to those overtaken in the sins of witchcraft and occult practices. Join us each week on our mission to fulfill the words written in the book of Acts, chapter 26, verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
The subtle evil of astrology. The poets once wrote, "The fault is not in our stars, but in ourselves." But how true is that statement? Is our fate written in the stars above? Do we live our lives predestined for success or failure, happiness or despair? Do the stars guide our way to true love or that perfect job? There are many people who believe so. Astrology is a practice as old as time itself. It was an integral part of the lives of ancient peoples and is just as prevalent today. Even many who profess to follow the Bible and the teachings of Jesus Christ will often consult horoscopes and seek fortune tellers. Is astrology just a harmless form of entertainment, or is it something more? Join us today as we use the Bible to expose the subtle evil of astrology and how it has incorporated itself into every aspect of our lives. We'd like to welcome you to another edition, From Darkness to Light. I'm your brother, Gadaiwan. We also have another brother who is expert in these matters, who actually used to be very proficient in the dark arts, but now is a servant of Christ. Brother, if you would like to introduce yourself.
This is the brother Aquara I, and it's a pleasure to be with you today for another edition of From Darkness to Light, especially on a topic like this. What can we say about astrology? It's one of those arts, a form of divination that, like we already said, is as old as time itself. But the difference is that in today's society, it's so prevalent and it has incorporated itself into the aspects of so many things that we do that a lot of people see it as totally innocent. But as we go to the scriptures, we're going to see that it's far from innocent, and the people who are overtaken in their sin need to repent, because it's putting you in danger of hellfire and losing your salvation. So today's birthday or your zodiac is not worth you losing your salvation. And as we go over the scriptures, we pray that that comes out clearly to those who are listening.
Yeah, because many people, they, you know, they read their horoscopes as easy as, you know, going to Starbucks and getting a cup of coffee.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, I want to start with an article that is really good, but it just shows exactly how prevalent astrology is in today's society. It's an article written by Abhishek Lodha, and the article is entitled Astrology, Science or Superstition. It has been estimated that approximately 75% of the population of the world today follow astrology and listen to what it has to say. Since the ancient ages, humans have looked to the heavens for guidance. Astrology is nothing but the study of correlation between the position of and the movement of planets, the stars, and other celestial bodies, and events on Earth. It is the firm belief of the astrologers that the placement and movements of the heavenly bodies, the sun, moon, and the nine planets of the galaxy, at the time of birth of an individual, have a direct influence on his or her character. A person's desires and destiny, his fate and fortune, his success and failures are said to be affected by the planetary position and movements. However, the faith and belief in astrology and astrological sayings is experiencing a rising trend since the recent past. Horoscope reading and astrology are affecting people from all walks of life and their daily lifestyle. And it goes on to say, a study of the past reveals that astrology came into being with the advent of civilization. It was the result of combining the ancient practice of observing the night sky with magical view. The Babylonians were, however, the first to introduce the concept of astrology, which was further supported by the Greeks. Astrology can be used as a powerful and fun tool for understanding ourselves, others, and the world around us. One can avail the services of astrology in different forms as well, as in different fields in routine life. For example, it is of great use for managing health, business, and stability in business, professional career, enjoying marital life, solving problems of children, understanding your strength, aptitude, weakness, as well as favorable and unfavorable times during a particular season. People use astrology in many different ways, from investing in the stock market, making banking decisions, and analyzing political situations and social movements. The applications of astrology are almost endless. Thus, astrology, to some extent, can definitely help people make their lives better. So what comes to mind when you hear that, Godawa?
Witchcraft.
So just from listening to that, you can see we spoke about the subtle evil of astrology, and here it is that it's basically, like they say even in the article, the applications are immense and limitless. Because you can literally use it for every aspect of your life, but it wasn't meant to be that way. So we know that when we look in the scriptures, the Heavenly Father, he made the sun, the moon, the stars, and all those things and gave it a specific purpose. So what we're going to do is start out by showing what the true purpose of all of those things that were created is. And the best place to start is in the book of Genesis.
All right, this is...
I'd like to start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14.
Okay, this is Genesis the first chapter, and the 14th verse. It says, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years."
So what was the first purpose of the Heavenly Father creating these lights in the firmament? They were for signs. Right, read that.
To divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years.
Continue.
Verse 15, "And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so.
And we're going to read down to verse 19.
Okay, "And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day."
So all of the things we're reading about in creation, the Heavenly Father said it was good. So when he set up the sun, the moon, the stars, and gave them dominion over the day and the night, giving the sun dominion over the day, the moon dominion over the night, and giving them as signs for days and months and years. And as we read on, they're also the sign of different seasons. All of those things were good in the eyes of the Heavenly Father. And read Psalms 104:19. It's just one verse. As a matter of fact, I'll read it. It's just one quick verse. And that's the book of Psalms, the 104th Psalms, verse 19. It says, "He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down." So even when you look at the moon is what tells us the different months of the year, and that's how we know the passing of the seasons. So that falls right in line with what we read in the book of Genesis chapter 1, is that it was for signs and seasons and months and years. Mm. So the thing is, what happens is that people don't know the difference between astrology and astronomy. When you look at the past, there was no difference between the two. People tried to link them both together. But when you look at our forefathers knew astronomy. They knew what the stars were. They knew the movement of the heavenly bodies. They knew the names of them. But they didn't make their life decisions based on the planetary alignments or the movement of the stars. That's astrology. And that's a form of divination which our people were forbidden to practice. And
absolutely.
Also, let's go to the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 43, because we're just going to read a few other scriptures proving that our forefathers knew about the heavenly bodies. And they gave them their proper due. And they gave them, they had knowledge of them, but also showing what their purpose was.
The pride of the height, this is Ecclesiasticus, the 43rd chapter, the first verse. The pride of the height, the clear firmament, the beauty of heaven with his glorious shoe, the sun when it appeareth, declaring at his rising a marvelous instrument, the work of the Most High. At noon it parcheth the country, and who can abide the burning heat thereof? A man blowing a furnace is in works of heat, but the sun burneth the mountains three times more, breathing out fiery vapors and sending forth bright beams. It dimmeth the eyes. Great is the Lord that made it, and at his commandment runneth hastily. He made the moon also to serve in her season, for a declaration of times and a sign of the world. From the moon is the sign of feast, a light that decreaseth in her perfection. The moon is called after her name, increasing wonderfully in her changing, being an instrument of the armies above, shining in the firmament of heaven. The beauty of heaven, the glory of the stars, an ornament giving light in the highest places of the Lord.
So, right. So when you look at verse 6 and also verse 8, it said he made the moon to serve in her seasons as a declaration of times and a sign of the world. And in verse 8 it says the month is called after her name, because even the word month is coming from the word moon. And it all reinforces that these things had specific purposes. So when we go outside of the purposes that the Heavenly Father gave us to use these things for, we're perverting his works. And
right.
One last scripture just to show that point again, and then we'll move on right out of this. And I'll just quote some, but Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 7.
7 and 17, I'll read it, don't worry.
Okay.
This is Wisdom of Solomon, 7th chapter and the 17th verse. For you have given me certain knowledge of the things that are namely, to know how the world was made and the operation of the elements, the beginning, ending, and midst of the times, the alterations of the turning of the sun and the change of seasons, the circuits of years and the positions of stars, the natures of living creatures and the furies of wild beasts, the violence of winds and the reasonings of men, the diversity of plants and the virtues of roots, and all such things are either secret or manifest, them I know.
So we're reading about our forefather Solomon, who was one of the wisest men that ever walked the face of the earth. He said he knew about the nature of wild beasts, the reasoning of men, diversities of plants and roots, but he also said that he knew the alterations and the turning of the sun, the changing of the season, the circuits of years, and the positioning of stars. So he knew and was expert in astronomy as well. But he didn't sit back and say, okay, well, I'm a Taurus, so I got a right to be stubborn and bullheaded, or I'm an Aries, so that makes me a dominant personality. That's all foolishness, and that's not what he was dealing with. But our forefathers had understanding of the constellations. When you read the book of Job, chapter 9, verse 9, it makes mention of Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades. When you read the book of Job, chapter 38 and 31, it also makes mention of those same constellations. So they knew about those things. But that's totally different than the form of divination, which is astrology. So let's jump to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. Because it's a scripture that we read before, and we probably read it on many shows, but it goes into what the nations did in the past that caused the Heavenly Father to be angry with them and caused them to be punished. And one of the things that they did was practice divination, and one of the forms of divination that they practiced was astrology, and we're going to read that. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, starting at verse 10.
Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter and the 10th verse. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee.
So stop right there. We could teach a class on each and every one of those abominations, and Lord willing, with a show like this, we probably will. But the main thing we want to focus on now is the observers of times, the astrologers, the stargazers, the ones that look to the heavens to find the answers for kings, for priests, for themselves, like the astrologers to the stars today, the ones that do astrology for celebrities or put it in newspapers, or the ones that sit up in shops where people come to get their fortunes read and things of that nature, or the ones you see on the late night programs, call in with your birth date and we're going to tell you how to find a new job and perfect love and all those things. That's observers of time. And that's a wicked thing in the eyes of the Lord. But we just read it. It's an abomination. And read on verse 13 and 14.
Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God have not suffered thee so to do.
So it's plain as day and clear. Yes, the other nations on the face of the earth, they went to observers of time and those who practiced divination. They went to astrologers and soothsayers and stargazers for advice and counsel. But the Heavenly Father told us if we are going to follow him, he has not allowed us to do so. The word suffer just means allow. So he's telling us we as followers of Christ, we as followers of the Heavenly Father are not allowed to do so. But and why? Because verse 15 is going to explain why.
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken.
So we're reading about a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. That prophecy is not separate from the commandment that we just now read. We just read that the Heavenly Father said we're not supposed to follow after diviners and astrologers and soothsayers and witches and sorcerers and charmers and necromancers because it's an abomination. But then he goes on to explain the real reason why. The real reason why is because he gave us something better. He gave us a true prophet that was going to come out of the midst of our brethren like Moses. And he was the one that we were supposed to hearken to in all things. And who is that prophet? That prophet is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one and only. So that's the reason why.
So instead of trying to go to deal with astrology or diviner or soothsayer or wizard or witch to get some kind of clarity on your life, who are we supposed to look to? We're supposed to look to Jesus Christ for the answer of all things. Or how am I supposed to deal in a relationship, in a marriage? Ephesians, the fifth chapter. We're supposed to be dealing with our wives, how Christ dealt with the church, so forth and so on. How are you supposed to deal with your brother? How are you supposed to clear up matters? Or this person hate me. What are you supposed to go and get a spell to try and kill them? No, you go to Matthew 18. That shows you how to clear up marriage problems between people.
Exactly.
So we're supposed to look to Christ. I mean, that is beautiful, showing, because I never put the two together, because that's what people are doing. They go on and they're looking at witchcraft and stuff, but we're supposed to look at Christ for everything.
Exactly. And you're right, because when you read that, it's easy to read it as something separate, like, okay, those are the laws about witchcraft, and now we're reading about a prophecy of Christ. But when you read it all together, it's telling you, you have something better. You have
right.
You have the true prophet who's going to come and teach you all things. And when you look at why the Heavenly Father said it was an abomination, because it was perverting the natural use of these things. We already started by going into what the natural use of the sun, the moon, the stars, and all of these things were. So let's go forward to the book of Jeremiah chapter 10 and read about another thing the Heavenly Father told us about the heavenly bodies and the signs of heaven. Because it's a lot of people that get caught up in these things, talking about what they see in the heavens and do some amazingly horrible things based on it.
Right. So Jeremiah 10, we will
start in verse 1.
Says, heed the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. This is Jeremiah 10, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them.
And how do we know the heathen are dismayed at the signs of heaven? Look at the things that they do. One of the more popular examples was the Heaven's Gate cult. You remember a few years back when the Hale-Bopp comet came flying over the sky? They said, okay, well, the end of the world is near. And the comet is a spaceship to take us away to paradise, but only if we all kill ourselves. So what happened? The idiots they poisoned themselves and then went to sleep and died.
Right.
Why? Because they saw a sign in the heaven, and they were dismayed, and they took their own lives. Or what's the biggest thing that we see now? The Mayan calendar. You can't turn on the TV. Every time you turn on the TV, the History Channel, the Mayan calendar, Discovery Channel, the Mayan calendar, you go to the movies, 2012, everywhere you turn. Why? Because now the world is going to end in 2012 because the Mayan calendar predicted it. So it just shows you that people are dismayed at the signs of heaven. But what did the Lord Jesus Christ say about the end of the world? Let's find out in the book of Mark, chapter 13.
Can I read this scripture on
sure.
that same point?
Please do.
How the healing
Please
of this made, because, yeah, people look at these things like, okay, for one, they look at that as a marker, as the end of the world or some kind of evil omen. But another thing, we read clearly in Genesis where these things would be signs of the times, you know, to pass the time. And so, but these nations have also looked at these heavenly constellations that the Lord has created for their purposes as gods. I'm going to read this as in Wisdom of Solomon, the 13th chapter.
Right.
Verse. It says, surely vain are all men by nature who are ignorant of God, and could not out of the good things that are seen know him that is neither by considering the works did they acknowledge the workmaster, but deemed either fire or wind or the swift air or the circle of the stars or the violent water or the lights of heaven to be gods which govern the world. Because this is what people are doing. They're looking at, the sun, I have to go by the sun because the sun gives me light and this and this. So they govern their lives by this astrology.
Right.
It says, with whose beauty, if their being delighted, took them to be gods, let them know how much better the Lord of them is. For the first author of beauty have created them. But if they were astonished at their power and virtue, let them understand by them how much mightier he is that made them. For by the greatness and beauty of the creatures, proportionally the maker of them is. So
the Most High, is he made the heavens.
So that's what we're supposed to look at. We're not supposed to look at the sun, the moon, and stars to govern our lives like they're some kind of gods. They have power over us.
Wow, that's an amazing scripture. So it basically said, if you're looking at these things and marveling at their greatness, we should be instead be marveling at the one that made it all.
Right.
Right. That's amazing. So, back to the point about the 2012 Mayan calendar, the end of the world. We're going to go to the book of Mark, chapter 13, and start at verse 31. We're going to read 31 through 33. Because the point is, it's like, you know, for Hollywood, it's probably just a cash grab, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The latest apocalyptic movie coming out. But for a lot of people, they really are caught up in it, and they believe it.
Mark 13, what'd you say? 31?
Mark 13, verse 31.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, know not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is.
So Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, told us to watch and pray, for we don't know the time. But he also said that he didn't know the time, because that was known only by his Father, which is in heaven. But somehow the Mayan Empire figured it out before Jesus Christ. And somehow they wrote it on the tablet for the world to figure out. So if the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to know when he had to come back, all he had to do was consult the Mayans. That's what it's saying. That's foolishness.
That is foolishness.
That's foolishness. So that's the reason why it comes up and keeps saying the same thing. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. We're not supposed to be like the nations. We're supposed to be followers of the Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And by doing that, we let all of the foolishness go and stand firm in his word. Go to the book of Isaiah chapter 47, and we're going to read verses 12 and 13.
Book of Isaiah.
Chapter 47, and we're going to read verse 12 and 13. Because the thing is, the people that trust in these things, the ones that are committing these sins, they're going to be destroyed. But the ones that trust in those things, they're going to be destroyed right along with it, lest they repent. So that's why we do shows like this, letting people know that it's not a laughing matter. It's not a light thing. It's not for entertainment purposes. Even though it covers every aspect of our lives, you can't pick up the newspaper without seeing your zodiac. You can't go to the bookstore without seeing books on it. You can't cut on the TV without seeing it. But it's still one of those things that we have to separate ourselves from. Isaiah chapter 47, verse 12.
Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, If so, be thou mayest prevail. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee.
So we know that was a prophecy that Isaiah spoke to the Babylonians. And we know that the same prophecy is being spoken to those who are practicing these things today. Because we've watched all those empires rise and fall that trusted in witchcraft. All those empires rise and fall that trusted in what? Astrologers and stargazers and monthly prognosticators. And were those people able to stand up against the fury and wrath of the Heavenly Father when the multitude of his angels came forth and their power was poured out with fury on those nations? No, they were not.
Nope.
Look at the Egyptians. What did their astrologers and soothsayers and monthly prognosticators do when the plagues came down? Did they have any might or power in their hands to stand against them, or did they fall prey to them right along with everybody else?
They fell prey, and they had to give heed to the Most High that he was the God.
Right. They said, surely this is the hand of God. So it's just letting you know that even they fall. So now we should know the difference between the astrology and astronomy. But now one of the things I want to touch on is the fact that how people use this as a guide to their personality or their character type, or this is what I'm like. Because we all know, Godown, we didn't fall out of a spaceship. We know growing up that we probably even governed our lives by a lot of those things. We ran into people, my brother's a Aries, he's hard-headed, that's why we can't get along. Or I'm a Taurus, so you know I'm bullheaded, you know, stuff like that. That's how we thought.
Right. Before we go on to this next segment, I'm going to play a few promos.
All right, dear, it's perfect time.
This is the Body of Christ Church inviting you to listen to our new program, From Darkness to Light, where we examine and reprove spiritual wickedness in today's world. The show airs every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. So remember the words written in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day.
Brothers from the Body of Christ Church welcome you to listen to our show, Are You Smarter Than Your Pastor?, airing every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. In these difficult times, we often look to spiritual leaders for guidance and instruction in our lives. As Christians, followers of Christ, should these leaders speak from their mind or from what is written based on the Word of God? This show will examine things said by men and women claiming to be God's ministers to reveal whether or not they are speaking God's word and doing his will. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We hope you tune in and listen to our show. Thank you.
Some people want to be saved, but they don't know how to be saved. And when they go to church, they don't listen to what the preacher's saying.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, Are You Smarter Than Your Pastor? On Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake on Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.
Okay, we're back, and what we're talking about is the subtle evil of astrology. Many people are looking for their horoscopes. Pammy Whammy put a comment, it's great that the scriptures are coming out about this because so many people do not see the harm in reading their horoscopes. I was once one of them. Well, sis, I was once one of them, too, looking at the horoscope. What is it? And it's like the article that you read, Akurai.
Right.
A lot of times it was entertainment. It was like, okay, what's going to happen today? Let me see what these horoscopes are saying today. Hmm. And sometimes
and if it was if it was something remotely true, oh my God, I got to show somebody.
Yeah.
And you know, the pieces of jewelry around your neck. You see people with the scorpion around the neck. You see people with the Aries. People with all the things around their neck and the shirts. So yeah, it's. People see it as entertainment, but we already covered the part going into its origins and witchcraft and divination and how it's something that the Lord hates. And I want to spend like the next few minutes going over the other aspects dealing with personality and also the aspect of it guiding over love and marriage. So first, I want to deal with the personality piece. So can you get the scriptures in Galatians chapter 5? Verse 22, and I'll just quote a scripture in the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So the reason why I wanted to start with that is because the bottom line is the Heavenly Father does not care what we think our personality is. He tells us in the scriptures, what our personality will be. Our personality will fall right in line with the laws, statutes, and commandments that he gave us. We're not going to be standing up to the Heavenly Father telling him, well, you made me born under the sign of Aries, so I'm hard-headed and stubborn. I just feel like disobeying. Or I'm a scorpion, so I'm kind of vindictive and I hold grudges. That's just how I was made and the sign I was born under. Uh-uh. It don't work that way. The mind that's going to be in us is the mind of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if that's not how we're going to conform, we're going to find ourselves facing wrath. So if you want to find out what your personality is supposed to be according to the scriptures, then Godwin, read on that in Galatians chapter 5.
Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
In verse 24.
And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust.
So when you look at that, the Heavenly Father tells us that we are supposed to be dealing with the fruits of repentance. And when we repent in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what happens? There are fruits that come from that. And some of the fruits that are shown in our spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Because the problem is you have a lot of people that say they repented in the Lord Jesus Christ, but then they're still stubborn, fiery, hot-headed, mean, vindictive, and evil people. That means that you are not truly repentant, because if you had repented, you'd be bringing forth and showing the fruits of repentance. So when you look at the Zodiac has no power over what we're supposed to be in Christ. The Zodiac has no say-so. We're the ones that have to make the choice to conform to either what the Scripture says or what the world says. And if we conform to what the world tells us we're supposed to be, we're going to be destroyed with the world.
Absolutely.
And also, now we can move on and jump into another, what's the biggest, one of the biggest things that people use the Zodiac and astrology for? To find true love.
Uh-oh.
To find true love, to find their soulmate, to call up and find out, should they get married to this person? Am I compatible? He's a water sign, I'm an earth sign. All of that madness. All of that madness. All of that madness. Oh, these two go together and these two don't go together. And the thing is, one of the points I think is a good point to bring out, Godiwan, is the fact that we're not talking about people that's just straight up heathen in the world worshiping other gods. We're talking about people in the so-called Church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who make all their decisions based on astrology.
That's madness.
All their decisions based on astrology. Here it is, they go to the pastor talking about, pastor, according to the Scriptures, is this a good person for me to marry? Well, when were you born? Well, when was he born? Well, what's his sign? Because he might be a good man, just might not be compatible with you. That's foolishness. That's not the kind of counsel you should be hearing in a church of the Lord. But it happens. It happens all.
The first thing it should be, is this person a man or woman of the Lord?
Exactly.
That's verse base. Because how could, the Scripture says, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? And that's why so many marriages fail. Well, I'm a Catholic. Well, I'm a Baptist. You're not going to raise the kids to be no damn Catholics. They're gonna be Baptists.
Exactly.
You can't even agree on the simplest thing. That's why we have to be in the same mind of Christ.
Right, and let's talk more about this love, or these star-crossed lovers, these ones that are compatible according to astrology and things of that nature. I mean, they have books on it all. They have the books on marriage. They have the books on astrology and marriage, astrology and relationships. They even have books on sexual astrology, on who's sexually compatible. I mean, please, I knew a girl that had a book, and on campus, we were on college campus, and she would sit outside the cafeteria reading the book to people going by to find out who they were sexually compatible with. Okay, well, you, and I mean, it might get a little vile, but the truth is, she would sit there like, okay, well, your man is a Gemini. Okay, well, this book says that Geminis are prone to being homosexual, so he won't mind if you bring a dildo to bed. Or your man is a Taurus. Well, they don't like to get freaky, but they got a lot of staying power. That's the type of stuff and type of the counsel that was coming out. So it just shows you that it's just totally contrary to the Scriptures. But we're going to go to the book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 26.
Okay, this is Ecclesiasticus, the 26th chapter, in the first verse. It says,
and we're going to read what the Heavenly Father has to say about how we're supposed to find a mate and how we're going to get a mate that's compatible with us.
Right. Blessed is the man that have a virtuous wife, for the number of his days shall be doubled. A virtuous woman rejoiceth her husband, and he shall fulfill the years of his life in peace.
So that sounds like a woman that everybody wants to have, right?
Absolutely.
So let's find out how you're going to get that wife.
A good wife is a good portion, which shall be given in the portion of them that fear the Lord.
So what did the Scripture say?
You got to fear the Lord, baby.
So the Scripture says a good wife is a good portion, which shall be given in the portion of them that fear the Lord. So you want to find a woman? You want to find that perfect wife? You want to find that star-crossed love? It ain't in the book about astrology. You better be getting in the Bible and start keeping these commandments and start serving the Lord, or else you're going to get a demon from hell. And we're going to read on and find that too.
This
so
is,
jump down to verse 14.
Yep. This is Ecclesiastes 26, verse 14. A silent and loving woman is a gift of the Lord, and there is nothing so much worth as a mind well instructed.
So it says a silent and loving woman is a gift of the Lord, and there is nothing so much worth as a mind well instructed. So when it talks about a silent and loving woman, it's not talking about a woman that's a mute and can't speak or doesn't have a mind. It's talking about a woman that's not clamorous, not vindictive, not going to fight and argue with you and strive with you, but it's going to be like the scriptures tell you in Genesis, she's a help that's meet, proper, and right for the man. A silent and loving woman is a gift of the Lord, and there's nothing so much worth as a mind well instructed in the commandments of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So,
absolutely.
So in short, you can read all the books on astrology you want. You can get the birthdays down. You can get the time of birth right. You can get the month, the year, the hour, the second right. It don't matter if you ain't keeping the commandments.
All right. This is Ecclesiastes 26, verse 23. It says, a wicked woman is given as a portion to a wicked man, but a godly woman is given to him that feareth the Lord.
So it says, a wicked woman is given as a portion to a wicked man, but a godly woman is given to him that feareth the Lord. So there goes your soulmate out the window. There goes your astrology and your divination out the window. Because first of all, if you use an astrology and divination to find a woman, the scriptures already tell you you're breaking the commandments of the Lord. He told you that that divination was an abomination in his sight. So if you are using an abomination to find a woman, what kind of woman are you going to find? You're going to find an abomination because you're an abomination.
Yep.
And that's why people sit back wondering, like, even the story you told me earlier about the woman that was into that astrology like that and how it turned out for her.
Well, hell, let me tell you how it turned out for me. When,
okay.
when I was in the world and dealing with, soothsayers and fortune tellers and stuff, and the fortune teller was telling me certain thing about my relationship, and this girl, boy, it was just like the scripture is saying. She was a wicked woman because I was a wicked guy. Here I'm going into all this astrology and trying to find out about my relationship, and the more I'm trying to find out about my relationship, the worse it gets.
Yeah, so that just
and then what happened when everything is going bad and I'm down crying? Then now who I'm talking to? Now I'm crying to the Lord. Why is things going bad? Now I want to talk to the Lord now.
Uh-huh. And that's the mistake we often make. We always put the Lord last. We don't want to go to his wisdom first. And also, let's just read one other scripture dealing with that and just move on from that. Because people want to talk about, they want to find their soulmate or the person that is predestined in the stars to be with them. Let's see if that's how our forefathers conducted marriages or if they did it differently than that, according to the Bible.
Right.
Ecclesiastes chapter 7.
Right, Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 25. It says, marry thy daughter, and so shalt thou have performed a weighty matter, but give her to a man of understanding.
So a lot of people might not want to hear this, but in the scriptures, there wasn't no star-crossed lovers. You walking down the street, you fell in love with somebody at love at first sight. There was no, I was at work today, and this guy came in dressed so nice, or this woman who was so beautiful, and I fell in love at first sight. Uh-uh. According to the scriptures, fathers married off their daughters. People chose. You didn't choose. People chose for you. But the reason why it says is it says, marry thy daughter, and so thou shalt have performed a weighty matter. So it's not a light thing to get married. People think it's a light thing, but it's not a light thing. And what was the stipulation that it said about that marriage, Godiva?
A man of understanding.
But give her to a man of understanding. So a man of understanding, we know, is a man that's in the commandments keeping the commandments of the Heavenly Father, following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. And when you look at that man, he's not going to be beaten her upside the head. He's not going to be he's not going to be cheating on her and all these things. And I know people out there listening right now talking about, well, I had a man that was in the Bible and he did all those things, and guess what? He wasn't in the Bible.
That's
and
it.
He wasn't a follower of Christ.
That's it.
So, you know, it sounds like it's backwards, and it's a backwards custom, you know, when people arrange a marriage. But the truth is that when you look at the United States, what is the divorce rate here? The divorce rate is almost 50%. When you look at arranged marriages, the divorce rate is between 0 and 5%, and you can find those stats online and look it up yourself.
You know what? I think it's going the other way now. I think it's a comparison to those that's supposedly getting married to those that aren't, because people ain't even getting married anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and part of the reason why they ain't getting married anymore is because of what we just now read. People have this misconception of what love and marriage is. They think that it's something mystical, written in the stars above, Romeo and Juliet type stuff. And when they got real life problems, dealing with real life issues, now all of a sudden something is wrong with the man or something is wrong with the woman, when something is really wrong with you. Because you're going through divination and witchcraft and sorcery trying to look for somebody, and the Heavenly Father is already telling you, if you practice these abominations, you're not going to get a blessing out of it.
Right. Pammy Whammy asks, can you explain the next verse, verse 26? Has thou wife after thy mind? Forsake her not, but give not thyself over to a light woman.
If you have a wife after your mind, if you have a wife, because it tells you to give your daughter to a man of understanding. Man of understanding basically means that this is a person that's keeping the commandments of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if you have a wife that has the same mindset and she's in that same spirit serving the Lord, you're not supposed to forsake that woman. Because that's why it says, and give not thyself over to a light woman. Because there are times today where you have a man who's supposedly a man of understanding, who has a wife that's a beautiful woman, but what do? They go out and sleep with a harlot, and they bring a curse on themselves, bring a curse on their household,
right?
Just because of their infidelity.
Right.
So it just shows you that a lot of men lose their portion by doing that.
Right. Another scripture says, silly women laden with iniquity.
Exactly. So I'm going to pick up the pace a little because we're...
Yeah, we got about 10 minutes left.
So the first, let's just go a few scriptures about that we read every single time we do this show. And it's the scriptures going into the repentance of these acts. One of the things that I'll talk about, like as far as the people who have these books and stuff in their household, according to the book of Acts chapter 19, verse 19 in the Bible, what you're supposed to do with those books, you're supposed to get rid of them. And I'll just read that really quick. That's the book of Acts chapter 19, verse 19. And it says, many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. We read that scripture a lot in this show because a lot of people have books on divination, witchcraft, sorceries, and things like that. If you're one of those people that's listening right now, take those books on the zodiac, horoscope, sexual astrology, or whatever it is you have, and get that abomination out your house. Two other scriptures I'll read is Ecclesiasticus chapter 15 and also verse 19. This is Ecclesiasticus 15. The Heavenly Father, he hath commanded no man to do wickedly, neither hath he given any man license to sin. And verse 19, the knowledge of wickedness is not wisdom, neither at any time the counsel of sinners prudence. So that's letting you know right there, first and foremost, that the wisdom and counsel that you're getting from these books is not the counsel of the Lord, and it's not the counsel of the Bible. So there's no prudence or wisdom in it. Did you want to bring out any points before I start closing up?
No, you can go ahead.
Okay, well, one of the other things I wanted to deal with really quickly is the whole concept of predestination. Because what happens is a lot of times when people hear about predestination, they say, okay, well, in the stars, we already destined for success or failure or destined to make it or not to make it. But that's not what the case is. And, you know, even with my own personal testimony, you know, like you said, I was a person that was caught up in a lot of these sins. And even in the past, when I looked to my horoscope to get answers, I went through the whole Chinese astrology system. And when I did it, it came out on the end and said that I would be born either a psychic or a mystic. And at the time I read it, I was both. So a person that didn't want to repent would have read that and say, okay, well, then I guess that's what I was meant to be. But I understood through the heavens, all praises to the Heavenly Father in Christ, I understood that it was still my choice to make that decision to serve the Lord or not. And I thank the Heavenly Father that I chose to serve him. So the book of Romans chapter 8, can you get the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 29?
Yep, got it. Romans 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknew, he also did predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
So the Lord said, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30.
Moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called.
So the ones he predestinated, he also called. That's why it tells you in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. So just because you were predestined to be called to this ministry doesn't mean that you're going to endure to the end. That's still our choice. Continue in verse 30.
Verse 30 or 31?
Finish 30, because I'm 30. It says it's more than verse 30.
All right, hold on a second.
It says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Verse 31.
What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?
Exactly. So although we were predestined to hear this word, it's still on us to come forth and give our due diligence to make sure that we endure to the end. And I'll just read the final scriptures, and I'll just end it with 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 down. And it says, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound in you, abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. So that's what we're supposed to be doing in this time that we have now. Those of us who are caught up in these different sins, those of us who are caught up in the sins of witchcraft, astrology, and soothsaying, and who have devoted our lives or let these people who practice these things guide our lives, those are things we need to repent of. You know?
Absolutely. And so, I mean, the scriptures say the Lord's arm is not shortened, that it cannot save. That's in Isaiah. So
right.
People may think that, you know, I've done these things and there's no turning back for me, but there is. You can repent of these things, and the Most High will cleanse you from all your iniquity. But you have to have faith and you have to repent. You have to acknowledge first and foremost that these things are wrong and that you did them, and now you have to not do them anymore. And then once you don't do them anymore, there is a replacement, because we're going to have that faith in Christ, and he's going to be our guide into all things that is in this life.
Father, I have kept my promise. The demon is gone, banished to the shadows along with the sorcerer who cursed us all. But evil is not so easily defeated, and I know I will have to fight again. I am a very different man now. Through all of my travels, all the things I've seen and all the things I've done, I have found my purpose. There was a time when the world was plunging into darkness, a time of witchcraft and sorcery, when no one stood against evil. That time is over. Is over. Is over.
If you've enjoyed today's program, join us each week for another installment of From Darkness to Light, airing every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also visit us on our website, www.thebocc.com, and our YouTube page, www.youtube.com/TheBOCC1. Once again, that address is www.thebocc.com, and our YouTube page, www.youtube.com/TheBOCC1. John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil.